I'd like for you to take your Bible, and I'd like for you to turn to a scripture you've never heard before, John 10:10. Heard that, haven't you? John 10:10. You just can't get away from that scripture when you work the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. And once again, listen to this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come, Jesus Christ speaking, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The old adversary, the devil, he is the thief. He does nothing but steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, did not come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He came to give people life. He does not steal from anyone. He doesn't kill. He doesn't destroy. He came that you and I might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. This is why learning is an exciting adventure. And as long as you live, you ought to continue to learn. You ought to be willing to learn. And as long as you're willing to learn, someone can teach you the accuracy of God's Word. It's when people refuse to learn, then no matter how great the truth of God's Word would be, nobody could teach it to anybody. It's only as people desire to learn. And learning is an exciting adventure. It keeps you growing and keeps you more knowledgeable of God's Word, and then you can utilize it, more of it in your life. You see, in the foundational class, that foundational class basically taught you that this Word of God is the will of God, and that this is the greatest secret in the world today, because hardly anybody knows anything about the Word of God, and they can't make it fit like a hand in a glove, nor work it with a mathematical exactness and with a scientific precision. That's why the Word of God is the greatest secret in the world today. And in that foundational class, you learned that the Word of God is the will of God, that the Word means what it says and that it says what it means, and that God has a purpose for everything He says, where He says it, why He says it, how He says it, to whom He says it, when He says it, too. It's all I can think of right now, and a lot more, I imagine. But one of the keys that developed in that foundational class that you understood was that the Word of God builds great spiritual knowledge in you. And when you're born again of God's Spirit, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is in spirit dwelling of Christ. And in the foundational class, I'm interested in that in spirit growth within you. In spirit growth within you. That's why we go as far as speaking in tongues in the foundational class, because speaking in tongues edifies the spirit. It builds up that spirit of God in Christ in you. Now the key to this power, the key to it, is the renewed mind. Now that's in the foundational class. And you know, in that foundational class, the thing behind the whole foundational class is that it develops you as an individual. Because before you can help anyone else, before you can share what you have, you must have it yourself, right? Why, sure. That's just axiomatic. I couldn't help you if I didn't have it. And in that foundational class, where we begin to teach you the integrity and the accuracy of God's Word and the greatness of that Word, you learn to begin to help yourself. And then as you learn to begin to help yourself, you build that knowledge in the renewed mind, and then you can share it with someone else. You see, you can't ever help anybody else until you've helped yourself. It's always a personal relationship. You must be born again of God's Spirit before you can really tell somebody else what it's like to be born again of God's Spirit, right? Sure, it's right. Bless your heart. So, in that foundational class, we learned all of these great truths. Now, the one we're dealing with in this particular class that I'm now sharing with you It's not no longer a building of self. It's now a building of the others who are in the body of Christ with you. Those who are born again of God's Spirit. And this is why in this class, I'm going to teach you how, with a capital H, a capital O, a capital W, how to operate the Word of God in relationship to what is referred to in the Word of God as the manifestations of worship. And in those manifestations of worship, we basically have speaking in tongues with interpretation and prophecy. And these are the manifestations that build up the church, the body of believers, the born-again sons of God. So you not only build up yourself, but you have to so develop your life and your knowledge of God's Word that you build up the other body of believers, the rest of the believers that are in that body. That's in this intermediate class. This is why this intermediate class deals specifically with interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Then, how to operate this Word of God believingly so as to receive from God the manifestations of revelation, and there are only three of them. There are three revelation manifestations. One is called the Word of Knowledge, another is called the Word of Wisdom, and another is discerning of spirits. Now, these three revelation manifestations that are in the advanced class, they give us the revelation that gets to the cause or the problem or the opportunity with which we may be surrounded. And these revelation manifestations, they are the eyes and the ears of the church. It's like in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 11, it says that we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan. With the operation of those three, Word of Knowledge, Word of Wisdom, and discerning of spirits, we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. We know how that old boy operates, and he doesn't beat us every step of the way. We are given revelation by God on how to meet the opportunities with which we're confronted. You understand? And then, class, we deal with three other manifestations called the manifestations of power. One is called faith, which technically means believing. The other is miracles, the other healing. So, you know, these manifestations of power, they bring us to the place where we can have God's solution in the natural world in which we live. The manifestation of believing, miracles, and healing get the cause of the problem or the opportunity or the situation with which we're confronted resolved. Getting God's solution in the natural realm. Do you understand? In other words, how to solve the problems or the opportunities or the situations in the best way according to God's Word. And that means how to walk by the Spirit. Not walking by our sense knowledge, but how to walk by the Spirit. You see, your temptation and mine basically is no longer between that which is good and that which is evil. Right. You know, you could leave your wallet here on the chair or in this teaching area. I wouldn't steal your wallet. I'd open it up and find out what your name is, and then I'd give it back to you. You see, the temptation is not between good and evil, like just stealing that. No, no, no. Basically, your temptation and mine will always be between that which is good and that which is best. God wants us to do our best. He wants our best. And the old adversary will trick you to that which is good. Like today, you see, they're many philanthropic things that are occurring. They're good. But the question is, are they the best? God wants our best, our utmost for His highest. That's what He wants. That's what He deserves, by the way, too. If God's good enough to save you and me, the least we can do is to share our best for Him, right? Sure, that's right. Bless your heart. That's why it's the Word of God that is this will of God. And it's this Word of God that's our sole rule of faith and practice. We don't have to go out and read a lot of theologians around the book. We just read the book and work the integrity and the accuracy of the Word and let the Word speak. Remember Psalm 138, verse 2 is familiar to you, I guarantee. It says He magnified His Word above all His name. He magnified His Word above all His name. Of all of God's works, the greatest of His works is His Word. You know, they haven't even gotten around to counting those little twinkly things that are in the Milky Way. And that's not bad. A lot of them there. And all the stars, a lot of things there. And yet the Word says that He magnified His Word. He magnified His Word above His name. Therefore, of all of God's works, class, the greatest of God's works is His Word. He says so in Psalm 138, verse 2. You know, some time ago, I said in some meeting that God set His Word above all His name. And somebody came to me afterwards and said, "Now, Dr. Weirwill, that's beautiful, but that's not quite big enough." Because it doesn't say He set His Word above His name. It says He magnified His Word above His name. And you know what I was doing? Good, not the best. I meant well, but you see, meaning well doesn't make it true necessarily. Mine wasn't. You see what I was saying, that God set the Word above His name. But the Word says He magnified it. And to magnify it is bigger than set it above it. Oh, you bet your life it is. That's why of all of God's works, the stars and everything else in all of God's creation, nothing equals the integrity and accuracy of His Word. God's Word says this. Now, either God's true or God's a liar. He magnified His Word above all His name. That's why this class and this ministry is bringing deliverance to God's people. Because it magnifies the Word. We don't read a lot of stuff around it. We just read God's Word. And when God's Word speaks, we believe it. And if it has to fit like a hand in a glove, because God's Word can't say one thing one place and then contradict Himself in another place talking about an identical situation. If it's God's Word, it will have to fit. Right. And once we get to God's Word, then for us, the Word of God is the will of God. It means what it says, and that settles it. Sort of nice, you know it? Well, I show you something. Bless your heart. Here's a little gift. Mary Belovitz and Valerie Pollard from California gave it to me. And that just blesses my heart. Because it really says what I just told you. You know, look, God said it, I believe it, that what? Settles it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And it has a beautiful dove at the bottom. These kind of things, when my people in the ministry get inspired and they make these things, they just bless my heart. But the beauty is so simple. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. So, somebody wants to argue about it? Let them argue. It's their business. Like a man wants to go to hell, let him go. That's his business. But if you don't want to go to hell, that's your business too, bless you. And if God says it, That settles it. Jesus Christ said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That for me settles it. Then Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That settles it. If I never manifest an abundant life, it's not God's fault, it's not His Word's fault, it's V.P. Whirlwind's fault. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And the only way you're going to manifest a life more than abundant is to put on the things of God in your mind and start operating the principles of God's Word and bringing them into fruition in your life. That's the only way you'll ever do it. Bless your heart. You know that. I'm not teaching you anything. You say, well, I want you to have God's best. That's why I'm teaching this on interpretation of tongues and prophecy. You haven't gone far enough with God to have God's abundant life in manifestation until you operate more than speaking in tongues. You've got to operate interpretation of tongues, prophecy. Then you've got to get around to utilizing and working the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and then carrying out the work by believing miracles and healing. This is the more abundant life. This is what God's Word is speaking about. You see, I cannot do any more for you than to teach you God's Word. You have to believe God's Word. It has to settle for you. God said it. That settles it. Carry it out. I can only teach you the Word. I can't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. Well, take a look at Ephesians. Bless your heart. You knew I'd get to Ephesians, didn't you? The greatest revelation to the church. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Listen to that again. Finally, after he wraps up everything of this great revelation in the book of Ephesians, he says, now finally, last of all, finally, I want to recapitulate. I want to state it once again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in who? The Lord. Doesn't say be strong in V.P. Whirlwind. Nor does it say to be strong in Johnny Jump Up, Henry Bolocco, or Snowball Pete. It says be strong in what? The Lord. And the only way you can ever be strong in the Lord is to be strong in His Word. Because you cannot know God without knowing His Word. You cannot know God's will until you know God's Word. Why, sure, that's just plain logic, people. Be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might, the Lord's might, not V.P. Whirlwind's might, not your might, not some theologian's might, but the might and power of, what does it say, the Lord. The power of His might, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the Old Testament, numerous places, but there are a couple of them I just want to show to you where it shows you that the Lord is our shield and buckler. You all know where the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. You know that. But have you ever really dug the great truth that the Lord is your shield and your buckler? Take a look at Genesis, rather, 15. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. How do you like that? We are children of Abraham by believing. Abraham was a believer. He believed God. He really walked on God's word as it puts it in the old English way, not knowing whither he went. He knew where he was going, bless his heart. But he went by believing. He couldn't see all the end, but he saw the road down there, and God said, go, and all Abraham did was went. He just went. He just started going. That's right. And God said to him, I am your shield. I'm your shield. Boy, people, God being our shield, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Most of the people you ever meet or are going to meet, they always want to tell you how important they are. We aren't important. It's God that's important, right? Sure, that's right. Bless your heart. He's important. And He has given us of His Spirit, and He has given us Jesus Christ that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He is our shield. He is our protector. He is our caretaker. Sure. Look at another one. I want to show you 2 Samuel. Boy, these are tremendous truths. First, 2 Samuel. 22nd chapter. Listen to verse 31. 2 Samuel 22, 31. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them who trust Him. How do you like that? Isn't that something? As for God, His way is perfect. Well, how could we have a life which is more than abundant if we had a Jesus Christ who had not made available to us that which is perfect? It's impossible. God in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. God is perfect. The Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, the Word of God is tried. And all the critics taking a crack at the book. The critics are all gone. The Word of God still stands at this time of this class. And I want to tell you something. It's going to stand tomorrow. Because every jot and every tittle of that Word is going to be fulfilled. The Lord said so. And every man's a liar, but not God. Oh, people, we got something to believe, something to speak, something to share, because it's God's Word. Sure, I get excited about the product. Why not? It's the greatest thing. He magnified it above all His Word class. That's why, people, the Word is tried. The Lord is our buckler. He's not only the shield, but He's the buckler. I got to go back to Ephesians, chapter 6. Again, listen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of what? God. That's right. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, how in the world have you put on the whole armor of God if you're not interpreting in a believer's meeting? Or if you're not bringing forth a word of prophecy? You see, to put on is something you and I have to do. Salvation is of grace. I taught you that in the foundational class. You know that. But the renewed mind, the key to power, is the putting on. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, not be blown about with every wind of doctrine. Every time somebody yells, you change your spiritual horses? No. But look, put on the whole armor of God that you may do one thing. Not sit down on the table. Stand. Bless you. That's right. Stand. Stand. Against what? The wiles of the devil, the old adversary. Listen, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you, take it, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. And having done all, do one thing, what? Stand. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You bet your life, boy. That's the word. You see it? That's why you're in this intermediate class on power for abundant living, where we're going to be dealing with interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Because you got to put on that whole armor. You just have to put on that mind of Christ and know that word of God so that you can get into a believer's meeting. And man, when you're in that believer's meeting, you can build up that body of believers so that the believers with you can stand. Because this family, this household of God, has to stand. That's why I said, put on. But you just stand there, I stand. You see, and you walk this way. Throw your shoulders back. Lift your head up. Having done all, do what? Stand. You don't let anybody talk you out of God's word. Nobody talks you out of God's word. The word of God is tried. The Lord is our shield and buckler. The word of God has stood the test of all the critics of all the time. The word of God still stands. The critics are dead and gone. That word is a living reality, and it abideth forever. That's right. Listen, that's why we are in this class. That's why you're here. That's why I bleed my heart out for you, to get you to get to God's word, so you get an understanding of that word, that you can utilize it in your life, that in our day and in our time, you can stand. Boy, oh boy. Sure work hard for a living, don't I? I got to go back to Ephesians. I like you. I'll stay a while. Listen. Well, God likes you. You complain about it. So I have to like you too, says somebody. Got a renewed mind. I'm in Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm in verse 20. Listen. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He is able to do exceeding what? Abundantly. Boy, it'd be great if we just had abundant, right? But he came that we might have life and have it how? More than abundant. And here it says exceeding abundantly. Whew, that's big, you know it? That's exceeding abundantly. Anything less, class, anything less than what the Word of God says indicates that we are living below par. And it isn't a golf game. It's a game of eternity, boy. Anything less than living up to the Word makes us live below par. This is why I've taught you this before. God cannot do less than His Word when we believe. God can never do less than His Word when we believe. He can do more when He goes beyond the Word. It's always in the category of phenomenon. That's right. But even that phenomenon does not contradict what the Word says. It just goes beyond. The exceeding abundantly is many times in the category of phenomena. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Jesus Christ didn't come that we might just have an abundant life. He came that we might have an exceedingly more than what? Abundant life. And that's why many times the believer, the Christian believer, when he really walks and he talks with God and he manifests the greatness of the power of God, there are phenomena in his life. And he manifests forth that which just blows the minds of people. They say, it can't be. That's right. For the unbeliever, it isn't. But for those who believe, it is. It's simple as that. Class, This Word of God is the least common denominator. God cannot do less than His Word when people believe. And He came that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. He is our shield and our buckler. He is just so exceeding abundantly. And then here it says, above all that we ask or think. Imagine that. Exceeding above all that we ask or think. Wow. According to the power that worketh in us. Ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, yeah. You know, when I was in one of the theological seminaries, they were still arguing about whether God... No, this was when I was in college, they were arguing about that. Whether God, being almighty, could create a bigger stone than He could lift. Ha! Stupid! You see, God is not only almighty, He's smart enough to know not to make one bigger than He could lift. He's all omniscient, you know, all wise. But that's what they argue about. Never get to God's Word and work it. Just argue about stuff. Look, the asking or thinking doesn't mean you can just flip out on anything you want to. Ask God, okay, make that TV out there turn into a Cadillac. That's a bunch of baloney. That TV's TV is going to stay TV. Because the law involved. You know what you can ask for? What the Word of God says you have a right to ask for. The Word of God is that denominator that tells you what you can ask for and what you can think. Now, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, but you ask or think according to the Word, and when God goes beyond that in phenomena, that's God's business. You just stay put on yours. And I don't think you're going to have too much trouble with God. The problem you'll find is with VP Weirwill, with yourself. Because I just have never even risen up to my great privilege. Oh, once in a while I hit it a little, but then again, I just don't rise up. God wants us to rise up, to manifest that life. Which, and He says, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. In other words, I many times limit God. Anytime I live less than what the Word says, class, I'm living below par. And living below par, I'm living less than what God wants His Son to live. You know that. It's according to the power that worketh in us, brings us in the category of the renewed mind. That's right. You see, if you do not move your lips, your throat, your tongue, you will never speak in tongues. You'll never speak in tongues. In order to speak in tongues, you had to move your lips, your throat, your tongue. You had to make the sound, not your grandma. And you were not possessed. You didn't give yourself over. You are not a channel. You did it by the freedom of your will. Just like you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. When you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believed God raised Him from the dead, you were saved because by the freedom of your will, you made that confession. That's right. And when you spoke in tongues, you by the freedom of your will moved your lips, your throat, your tongue. You just moved it. You made the sounds. You made the words. And you spoke the wonderful words. That's right. See, the moment you move, God moves. God has, past tense, moved in Jesus Christ. Now He's waiting for you to move. When you move, now God can move again. God's not going to move till you move. He's already moved. It's your move. It isn't a checker game. Bless you. But it's your move. Your move to do what? Bring an interpretation of tongues and prophecy. But if you're going to bring an interpretation of tongues and prophecy, you better have gotten around the place of speaking much in tongues in your private prayer life to build yourself up. To edify yourself. Right. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 again. I have to buy a new Bible sometime. Just lost the leaf a little while ago. Look at 1. I want to start with 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit, that is to say, of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, for what purpose? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you know, that means lit up without murine. Right. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, K-N-O-W, not question, not doubt, but that you got to the place that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. And add another no to it. That you may know. Know what? Is the hope of His calling. Know the hope of His calling. And the word hope. The word hope always deals with something you can't have now. Faith or believing deals with something you can have now. Right. Hope is something you cannot have now, but it's guaranteed to come in the future. Believing is something that's available now. And it's the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation that activates both our believing for the present and our hope for the future. I have a hope for Christ's return. That's right. You can believe for Christ's return right now. You're not going to implement it. He's not going to hurry. That's right. He's coming when He's ready. Came the first time when He's ready, and He's coming back when He's ready. Well, I want to tell you, He's coming back. You know that. You bet your life. He's coming back, but only according to His timetable. Therefore, I have the hope of Christ's return, but I have believing for salvation now. Anybody could walk into this class right now, and if he heard God's word and believed God's word, could he get saved? You bet your life he could get saved. You know why? Because salvation is immediately available. It's not something you hope for. Whew. And I hear people saying, well, I hope that when I die, I was sure I was saved. That may be too blessed late to find out. Right. That rings you there. That's right. Bless you. You see, this is why we need to understand these things in God's Word. Look, eyes of your understanding being lit up, that you may know the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of His, God's inheritance in the saints. God's got an inheritance in you. That's right. What you doing with it? What are you doing with that God in Christ in you? He's got an inheritance in you. And listen to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who do one thing? What? Believe. That's something. Exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. According to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, lit up, shining, radiant, that you may know the hope of His calling, the riches of His glory in you. Right. The riches of God's glory in you. And the third one, the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. I was just thinking of the glory in you. You know, the glory of God was so fantastic, Moses had to put a veil over his face. Couldn't look at him. And God put that glory right inside of you. Man, I want to tell you, when you put on God's Word, you've got to shine. You've got to radiate. Being lit up. Being enlightened. Being lit up. It's that Christ in you, the hope of glory. That God was so fantastic, Moses had to put a cover over his face. Couldn't look on God, the Old Testament says. And yet he says, it's that glory in you. That glory. That God's, in the Old Testament, I guess, called the Shekinah glory or something. The same kind of glory that met old Saul on the road to Tarsus. Yeah, a few other people in the Word. You see, that's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's that glorious God. No wonder when you walk down the street, people take a look at you and they wonder, what makes you so bright? Well, you just tell them, yeah, you're bright because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Because what you look at, you become. And with Christ in you, you look at that Christ. He is our shield. God is our shield and buckler. We look at Him and then we become the effulgence, the blaze and glory of the beauty of the Christ within. That's right. You know, it was what we referred to as Easter Sunday. Jesus Christ had been resurrected and he'd been seen by a few, and he was on the road to Emmaus. Right. Two fellows were traveling along and Jesus joined them on the road to Emmaus. And they were discussing the heavy things that had occurred. And while they were having this wonderful discussion, Jesus was joined to those two. And that record is in Luke 24. I think I ought to read it to you. Luke 24. Listen to this. Verse 31. And as they sat at meat, verse 31, their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they knew Him. Their eyes were opened. And they knew Jesus Christ. But let's go back to verse 27 and read what this is all about. When Jesus joined Himself unto them, it says, and beginning, verse 27, at Moses, and all the prophets, He, Jesus Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures concerning the things concerning Himself. Prophets, He, Jesus Christ, expounded unto them in all the scriptures concerning the things concerning Himself. That's right. Isn't that something? Man, that must have been great. Jesus Christ speaking to those men and expounding to them in all the scriptures of things concerning Himself. That must have really lit them up. It says so. Well, you know what verse 32 says? 31 says their eyes were opened. 32 says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn within us? While He talked with us by the way, and while He opened or interpreted to us the Scriptures, did not our heart burn within us while He opened to us the Scriptures? It always does that. You see, when this Word of God becomes living and real, you sort of light up, because then you know, then your heart burns within you. They were tremendously blessed that day. There's another record in the book of Acts I'd like to share with you. Acts chapter 8. Quite a record. Verse 27, listen to this. Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. Verse 32, and the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. Began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This Ethiopian eunuch had been at the religious center of the world. They should have known the answers. But apparently they didn't. He was on his way home. He didn't have the answers. He was gone home. Didn't have any answers. Been there all the time at that religious center, didn't have any answers. Sounds sort of modern. But a man by the name of Philip was there. And God always supplies our need. Now I want to tell you, if you're hungry in this class, God's going to supply that need. You're going to get the answers from God in His Word. And Philip began at that same scripture and expounded it. The Ethiopian, how can I understand except somebody teach me? That's right, somebody's got to teach. Philip taught him the Word. He believed God's Word, and he got the results of it. He had been to the religious center, didn't get Word there, but he got it from Philip. You see, if you're really hungry, God will always supply someone to teach you the Word.
Right.
You know, that's why in Ephesians, remember that record we were on a little while ago? That ye may know, not doubt, not flip out, but you get to the place that you really know. What we said earlier, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You see, 1 Corinthians, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. This enlightened understanding, your eyes lit up, the whole thing of God's Word, you see, that you may know. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This enlightened understanding, class, that you may know, the how of interpretation of tongues and prophecy is involved here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, listen to this verse 5. It's in here. 14, verse 5. I would that ye all spake with what? Tongues. That's what it says. And in verse 37 of the same chapter, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. I would ye all spake in tongues, then is a commandment of whom? The Lord. And quit arguing with God. Do it. That's speaking in tongues. Look at verse 2, 14. He that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, divine secrets. And in verse 4, it says, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. He builds himself up spiritually. That's the foundational class. That you may know. That you may know. Now, what about the how of the interpretation of tongues and prophecy? In chapter 14, verse 13, listen to this. This is to edify the church, the body of believers. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray or believe that he may interpret. And in verse 3 of chapter 14, speaking about prophecy, he that speaketh in a, verse 3, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And verse 4, he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So there you've got it. Enlightened understanding that you may know. Know what? Well, what it is to speak in tongues. I would ye all speak in tongues. It's the commandment of the Lord. And people say, well, God doesn't want you to speak in tongues. Well, somebody's a liar, either God or His Word. God's Word or people. Nothing wrong with God and His Word. We read it. God is not a liar. Every man is. The Word's been tried. Right. These are commandments of the Lord. But the speaking in tongues speaks divine secret, edifies the spirit, edifies the spirit. But the enlightened understanding of this class is on the how of the interpretation of tongues and prophecy, so that the body of believers may be edified, that the church may be built up. That's why when you speak in tongues, let him believe or pray that he may interpret. The interpretation will edify the body of believers. Speaking in tongues will edify you. Speaking in tongues with interpretation edifies the believers, the whole body. That's why regarding prophecy, and we'll set the difference between interpretation of tongues and prophecy in this class, that you can't miss it. You just can't miss it. We'll read it to you line by line, like we do in the foundational class. When a person prophesies, he builds men up. He edifies men by way of exhortation and comfort. And this prophecy edifies the church, the body of believers. You know, in that foundational class, you were given a book entitled Receiving the Holy Spirit Today. This has in it all 385 some scriptures on that deal with the word Spirit, Pneuma, or the word Hagion, Holy Spirit, right? It handles it from both the Greek as well as the Estringelo Aramaic. And there is a section in this Power for Abundant Living book that you really ought to study again during this class now and really master it. Why don't you go as soon as you can and get your book open? You must have a copy. You're in the intermediate class, and the only way you can get in the intermediate one is go through the foundational one, bless your heart. So you ought to have a copy available someplace. And if you've got one like I've got, it'll be on page 161. And this is chapter 11 in the book Receiving the Holy Spirit Today. And there it's a study of 1 Corinthians 12, where I've taken that 1 Corinthians 12 and just worked it line by line and word by word. Not by what V.P. Wirrwill thinks, but by what does the Word say. That's right. You see what the Word says we're capable of doing. Just have to believe it. We just do what the Word says. Well, not only is 1 Corinthians 12 in there, but that whole section 3 begins with page 161, then 197 is 1 Corinthians 13, and then chapters 207, chapter 14 on page 207 to 249, handled again the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, just line by line, word by word. See? So that you can understand these things. Read that word. Study that. Get into the Word. Let the Word speak. Let the Word speak to you. They tell that the bumblebee can't fly. Its wings aren't big enough to carry it. But you know something? The bumblebee just doesn't know that, so it just flies away. You know, this Word of God is so much bigger than I know, but I just believe it, and so I just keep manifesting a life that's more than abundant. Jesus Christ came that we might have this life that's more than abundant. And because He came, He made it available. All I have to do is believe it. God said it. God says it. That settles it. That settles it. God said it. That settles it, and I simply believe it.